that the $100 million, which of course should have been attempted, was the issue. I don't think he saw occupied with building Jerusalem as to make Jerusalem as such a metropolitan area, the center of the world, and to even a Mormon or Jews for Jesus or Yeshiva. As a matter of fact, I think he hates more Yeshiva than Jews for Jesus.
That is without question. It's without this, question.
No, this, the Shekhrut that he had with the Jewish identity claim is nothing. It doesn't exist. What does with the flimmer? He's doing nothing. He's there. He's destroying.
What do you mean he's doing? He's destroying.
But he's there.
Hitler was in Germany. Hitler was in Germany. Let me. He was there. Hitler was in Germany. He was there. He was killing Jews. Kenny Clark is the same.
He's so strong politically. He can't get rid of him.
He's done nothing but wonders for the city. On a
I'm not talking about the shiftless plan. This is the Lord. Now, which is worse than that, worse than this, is the shiftless plan by the religious guy. When a Jewish person says in the Jewish Knesset, "Lo tichrot briti Yosheva Aretz," from Pusik, as a matter of fact, we read it in Shabbos Chalamoy. The Yeshev Rosh HaKnesset Hillel tells him, if you're going to mention one more pusik, I'm going to kick you out of the Knesset. So he says, Ki mokeshu lecha, he tells him, because they're going to be like a mine, and you won't be able to move. So Israeli policemen go around to a member of the parliament, they pick him up, and they throw him out. This is one thing. But the religious people in the Knesset did not rip their clothes for having thrown out a Jew for saying the pusik in the Knesset.
You got it.
This is the lowest element.
You got it. Now Rav Kook is going to go a step further. He is going to use this whole, all that we have spoken about, he is going to look for a source, a precedent in Tanakh for this whole thing. Remember, as far as Rav Kook is concerned, all of this division of opinion that we've had microcosmically over here all devolves in one, you know, on one point, that neither of us, neither the Zionists nor the Frum, have arisen to the moment of glory to be able to understand that there are certain aristocratic, elegant things that are at stake here that we just can't put our finger on. Remember when Shlomo HaMelech became king? Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men. And in Melachim, you ought to see it, there came two people, two women, before him for judgment. One said, "I gave birth, and this is my child." And the other one said, "I gave birth, and this is my child." Do you remember the names of the women?
No.
No. Do you remember what the women did aside from motherhood?
Yeah,
thank you.
What?
Shtei zonot. They were two prostitutes.
They should have thrown them out.
Tanakh tells us something right over there. Tanakh tells us that there is a defect in character by virtue of their profession. Shtei zonot. But Shlomo HaMelech has got to test the defect in character and see where the defect is lesser and where he can get to the true personality. And you know already what he did. He says, "Give me the baby, get a sword, I will cut them in half." One says, "Go ahead, king, and let the baby die." And the other one says, "No, let the baby live and give it to her." And whereupon Shlomo HaMelech says, "You are the real one. Ready to let your child live and give it to someone else, giving up that child so that that woman over there stealing your baby will raise your child as long as your child will live. Finished. That gives you the right to be called mother." But remember what she was. She was a zona. Rav Kook uses this in trying to explain our dilemma over here. Line 54, the second word. Eile hakitot yachdav, these two sides, the frum and the non-frum, hinam midagat shtayim nashim zonot, can be understood in the light of the two prostitutes, Shebatu el Shlomo, who came to Shlomo HaMelech with a child. Hadibur, the word that was spoken from Shlomo HaMelech was, Haviu Cherev, bring a sword and we'll cut it. Nisayon hu mechachmat Elokim shebemalchut Yisrael. This was the highest test. Alright? That you needed godly chokhmah as you sat as a king in Israel. Votaharu uyalehi dachot. Hamalila alilot besheker. And there was no way that one was obviously telling lies. And you gotta get rid of her. Who was that one? He hatoenet gezoru. That's the one who yells, that's the whore who says, cut this child. Ubehit marmira mevaleteti et amitata tina shebalei. And as she's yelling at this child, you see nothing more than the anger, the bitter, the gall, the mud in her heart. Shehi chasha be'atzma, her self-hate. That she's not going to go ahead and lose a child, and if she has to lose a real child, and if she cannot win that other child, kill that other child also. Shekol inyana hu rak gam li gam lach lo yihyeh. The essence of this first mother is, you're not going to have that child, and I'm not going to have that child. Neither of us is going to have the child. Did you ever see that?
I can't have it.
Huh? I won't have it, then you won't have it either. You have it, you'll neither have it. That's it. Gizaru. Cut it up. Huh? Yeah, no.
But what does it mean? That was nice and quiet.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Ve'ha'eim harachmaniya. And the other one. The other mother. Eim ha'emet, the true mother. Omeret, she says, and remember, this is the same zona. She says, "Tenula et hayilod hechai, give her the baby. V'hamet al temituhu, don't cut him up, don't kill him. V'ruach hakodesh tzavachat, and that's when the Holy Spirit of Shlomo HaMelech screams out, "Tenula es hayilod hechai, hi imo, give this child to the real mother, the mother who is ready to give it up." Says Rav Kook, "Ein keitz l'ra'ot hagashmiut v'haruchaniut." Shall hit parduta umalachalakim. He says, you cannot begin to understand the physical implications and the spiritual implications if we cut this baby called Bnei Yisrael into parts. Afal pi sheperut gamur, even though that we are so separated, ki ha'ole alev ha'menatchim ba'achzariyut, that we want to kill them. And they want to kill us. We want to do in the, as you say, Bobby, your Yimach Shmo, and what do they give us? They give us a Yimach Shmo square. Even so, I want you to know, Bobby, Rav Kook says, Lo Efshar, it's an impossibility. V'hayo lo tihiyeh, it never will be. That we are going to split because we're in the boat together, and somehow we're going to have to work it out. Somehow we're going to have to work it out. Some Rogoff is going to have to rub off on Dresner and on Schindler so that they can finally hear your anguish and your yelling and your screaming of how they are doing you in.
Is Rav Kook saying it's already to go to their wedding?
No, is that
no, he didn't. No. No, leave that at the end.
That's not. It's not determining halacha here.
No, because at that wedding, you're not going to rub off on him. You're not going to rub off on him. Okay, so we'll see. Go on. He says, if you think that you are going to split the nation, line 63, Zoti mamash machshava shel avodah zarah klalis. There is nothing more that is avodah zarah than thinking that you can split the nation. You know why? Because by definition, avodah zarah serves your own interests. You got to do it my way. Okay, you got to play it my way.
Is this saying that it can't happen?
Watch, it won't happen, he says. Shehinenu betuchim aleha shelo titkayem. It will not happen. Asher atem omrim nihiye kagoyim kemishpachot ha'aratzot lisharet eitz v'even. You guys want to go this way of Avodah Zarah and desert it? It won't be. Im lo biyad chazaka im lo chalechem. You want to impose your will on us? It won't be. ובכל מחשבה של עבודה זרה היא מחריבה ומדיבה אפילו כשלא באה. And it hurts even to speak about this and to think that such a thing could happen, that we will split. Because just even thinking about it kills me. ולא תבוא לידי מעשה, it will never happen that this nation will split. You know why? The next line, 66.
What is he saying?
Watch. No. Watch. Yesod tzidkat tzadikim. He says the cornerstone of a tzadik, the chol dor vador, in every generation, nitmechet he is supported berishas harishoyim. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, my friend, is no Lubavitcher Rebbe unless he has what? Unless he has Jews for Jesus and a bunch of Jews who don't want to be frum. The Lubavitcher Rebbe becomes the Lubavitcher Rebbe with his sikkus because he has those whom he can pull back. And your guru, whoever it is a guru because he is capable of bringing back those who were shown.
The word nitmechet?
Supported.
What? Is it the
Back up.
Didn't you also predict that at some point there's going to be like two different kinds of marriages?
When did I say that?
Them and us.
When? You mean you?
But you said that there would be yuxing like there was in the days of.
If we can go back. And repeat, please, for all of our sakes, to understand what kind of a unique position Rav Kook took. Unique in the sense that he didn't innovate anything, but that he went ahead and said it so differently than all the others. Yesod tzidkas atzadik bechol dor vador. The thing that makes a tzadik in every generation is that nitmeches hi birishas harashoyim. It is intrinsically bound up into the Rishoyim, into the community of Rishoyim. A tzaddik becomes a tzaddik by virtue of how many of Klal Yisrael he is able to redeem. A tzaddik becomes a tzaddik by virtue of how many he is able to rescue from the stormy seas of life, from that black existence of trying to bury yourself and forget Yiddishkeit. And a tzaddik becomes a tzaddik by virtue of how many lifesavers he is able to throw out, cast out in the seas, and pull them into the boat again. Shebe'emet einam rishayim klal, because what you don't understand is that these chevra who are walking around the Zionists, where we have such built-up anger, and we'll give them the Yimach Shmo treatment, and I understand these aren't absolute rishayim. Kol zman shehim bedivukim bechefetz libom, as long as their heart motivates them liklalos ha'uma, to worry about Jews in general and to save them. V'yamech kulam tzadikim. And on that basis, they merit what the Mishnah says about them, kol Yisrael yesh lem chedek l'olam haba, because amech kulam tzadikim. And the reason that they're rishoyim, v'chitzonius harishus shelahem, okay? There's a purpose for being a Rasha. This external veneer of rishus of theirs, mo'ila la'ameitz kocham shel tzadikim, goes ahead and motivates the energies of a tzadik to be a tzadik. Do you know how that is? When our bodies become invaded by a toxin, by a poisonous substance, what did the Rabboni Shel Olam in his infinite wisdom give, build into our bodies? Antitoxins. So as soon as we are invaded by the toxins, our body goes ahead onto the fight to be able to repair. So this is the tzaddikim. So a tzaddik becomes a tzaddik when he sees he has a challenge.
What about safeguards? So how do you say, I understand what you're saying. The shalom will come together with the tzaddikim and you'll come over the funky. That's ideal. But how do you know you get the tzaddik from the Russian and come to outreaches?
Okay, give me two lines and then we'll address that. All right? Now, ועל ידי הפירוד המדומה. ועל ידי הפירוד, I skipped two words. There's a beautiful mushal over there, and you have to know how wine is made. Kidur daya la chamra. Chamra is wine. Okay? Wine is very expensive, correct? It is the liquid that you want that has fermented, correct? That's what you're going to pay for. But you know that at the bottom of the keg of wine, what do you have? Sediment, leak. Gook, right? If you were to take away and filter out all that, pardon my language, all that gook before the wine became the wine, what would you have? You know what you would have?
Before the wine became the wine?
Yeah. You couldn't even sell it as fizzed out grape juice. You hear? Or grape soda. These dregs, this pulp, this mash, this ugly mud on the bottom of the keg is bedafke what makes the wine the wine. And if you separate the two, you won't have wine. This is the Gemara Megillah by Vashti over there. This is the Gemara Megillah. So he refers to it. He says the relationship of a tzaddik to a rasha is the equivalent of the relationship of the flavoring to the wine, of the lees to the wine, of the essence over there, the pulp to the wine. And you cannot separate the two. I'll finish the line and then, Rob, I'll get to you.
Once you get the wine, you
throw away. I hear what you're saying, but that's Yemos HaMashiach. There will be no need for leeks anymore. You hear? Yemos HaMashiach will all be one. But until then, the one needs the other. Ve'al yedei peirud ha-medumeh. And if you want to go ahead and make this hypothetical split in the nation, anyone who does it from either side is chotrin tachat yesod hakedusha kula. You are endangering the entire kedusha of the entire building of Klal Yisrael. And what you're doing is osim maase amalek. You are no different than amalek shezineves hanechshalim plitei ha'anon, who took advantage of the weakness of Bnei Yisrael and tried to undo them. Shalach yod bishlomov chilel briso. Anyone who goes ahead and raises a hand to those who are within Shlom Bnei Yisrael, those who are within Bnei Yisrael, either because you're Fruman, you got your tzitzis out, or you go ahead and you are a Zionist going to conventions and you see the Jews have a homeland. Either way, if you go ahead and want to separate these two, Chilel Briso, you have taken a bris of the inseparability of Klal Yisrael and you have violated it. Safeguards and protections. What would Rav Kook say to safeguard and protections? The first thing he would say is that you never feel depressed or be allowed to be depressed that your message doesn't get through. It may not be today. They may not listen. They'll laugh at you. They'll scorn at you, scoff at you, spit at you. Somewheres it's going to have its effect. First. Secondly, do you ask a doctor the same question when he has to come treat your child who is deathly ill with an infectious disease? Yes or no? Do you ask him if he's worried about his own health? Or do you assume that if you are the doctor, you will take the protective measures that are necessary that you not become infected and yet be able to heal? So it means, again, that you yourself, if you are going to be the one, you yourself have to be solid. And this solid core of emuna comes in the faith that you are right. You will never waver from it. And no matter what you do and how you conduct your life, it is going to be one, no, Johnny, we are a Klal Yisrael together. I love you. You are a Jew. You have differences of opinion. Let's find the positive and let's work together. I need you and you need me. We're in this boat together and we're going to sink, both of us, if any one of us leaves. We've got to go it together.
How do you know you're so formed? Or even if you are so formed, how do you know whether it's your family or your congregation?
If you have doubts, then you ask a professor who is supposed to know these sicknesses and see. Not every soldier is capable of becoming a lieutenant or a four-star general. There are some who are, you know, buck privates, and buck privates are given a certain job.
Schools,
yeah?
Schools made up of 100 people.
Good.
Some are more strong, some are less strong, and it's on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
So that it might affect. Some it won't affect. Some it might affect.
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to take that risk?
Depends. It depends on your leadership, and it depends on your goals.
Don't we also know, doesn't his question, in a sense, get back to Bobby's question? There is to what you gain. In other words, because you're presenting it that there's only a negative. So you bring these people in, so you're going to lose. But if you think that when you bring, you know, the people in, that there's something that you gain from being with those people, then it's not a piece of warning your film credit, then it becomes a strengthening of your film credit.
It's a strengthening of your film credit for those that remain strong in the film credit.
But no,
what
but
about
that's
the
people
what that don't remain strong? When you set up your yeshivas, you set up your hillels, and we have the 40% that I'm from. Okay? Right. How do you know it's not going to take a kid across from the full moon and make him less?
Why should it if your education is solid? If it's not solid, then you have something to worry about no matter what. Yeah. Not because of the fact that they played with non-firm kids. Okay? If my children will ever be non-firm, it is because of their father, who spent more time with his constituents than with his children. Simple as that.
If you can't always be sure.
That's correct. But do you honestly conduct your life on the basis of you can't always be sure? If that's the case, you should be a hermit. Do you go to work in the morning?
Fine. The best you can.
That's correct. So,
but maybe trying the best I can to some places I don't go. I don't go into zona houses.
100%.
Maybe I don't trust myself.
100%. So you are able to style the needs of your children in such a way so as not only does your child emerge on top, but this other one is affected. That doesn't mean that you are going to send your child over there to eat tarfus. It does mean, however, that your child is going to be able to go there and understand that Shabbos will still be Shabbos and Yom Tov is going to be Yom Tov. And if he wants to eat over there, it's going to be kosher.
If I do a good job of my funeral.
That's correct.
What guarantees are there that I'm going to say?
There are no guarantees for anything. Ever.
Let's see, Rob doesn't have teenage children.
Ever.
So maybe if he never becomes exposed, I don't have to worry about
it.
It's a maybe. It's Takia, maybe.
It's better the other way that he's exposed and he comes out not.
Oh, the MTA is the kind of
thing. We have
it's
come.
It's really a better system, I admit. But how do I know it's
we have come full swing now to where we started with Rav Kook tonight, and that is the spirit that animates you to want to protect your children is the spirit of a Yirei Hashem and a Shomrei Torah u'mitzvos. But remember that in our first selection he had indicated that there is somewhat of a defect over there if that spirit cannot move you with confidence to take the chance in benefiting from your warmth and the rays of Torah that emit from your house on Amsterdam Avenue so as those who are across the street and back of you and in front of you who are not as firm as you will be able to see that there is substance in what you're doing and will not undermine what you're doing. And if they are Zionists, together we will be able to grow. That was the first part. That was the first selection. A sense of togetherness. Now, no one is going to say, starting with Rav Kook, that you take such incredible chances so as to be able to endanger the health, the frumkeit health, the spiritual health of your children. But what he is asking you is to shake off this shiflut klalit, this insecurity and maybe inferiority complex for whatever reason, and get yourself, first of all, to realize that you have a nuclear generator of spirituality and Torah up there that's second to none. My Lord, get that energy going. How do you know? Try it. If there are dangers, let's retrench and then we'll see. But you got to try it. And if there are dangers, and maybe you are imposing on your child something that your child is not ready yet to carry. But he will. I have the same fears for my children. Why shouldn't I?
Your children are fine.
All children are fine. It's okay. That this is the premise.
To say, Rabbi, you've got much easier. Your entire family.
Yeah.
What I know is from.
You're full of baloney.
Turn this off. Thank you.
Let me just conclude. I started with Naturi Karta because it is a position that can be understood, and if you don't, should be understood. We then have your challenge, Rob, that at least, if you can't say anything good, be neutral, don't say anything. Which is, again, a very compelling position. Can you understand, with this approach of Rav Kook, why when he would walk in the streets and there'd be a levaya and he was a Kohen, and the Orem of the mace was passing through the streets, that there were those who would come up behind him and push him onto the coffin so that he'd be metame. One such person sits in the Knesset today. You see. Who prided himself as a young yeshiva boy for having thrown tomatoes at him publicly and for being in a group of chevra who came up, teenagers, who came up in back of him. And went ahead and pushed him onto the Aron. Can you understand? It is a position that is so unique and probably is the only one that will save millions of Jews for us if we would only rise to the occasion and start schlepping them in endlessly and without fatigue. So that one after one, each one, some which way, will be able to identify whether it is Eretz Yisrael or Jewish causes, and keep after him, if not this generation, children, if not children, cousins, some which way, we've got to skin the problem. Who was it? Who did it? What difference does it make? It was recorded in the newspaper at that time. And the gentleman prided himself when he was a youngster. He has since become a more polished politician, so he keeps quiet about it. But it is a kind of position that can infuriate the religious community.
He hasn't become any more polished.